Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the fifth episode in the co-pilot series where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle a little more doable, especially while facing the common challenges and roadblocks we all kind of face during our journey to better health and weight loss. Today's guest is a lovely gal, and I think all of us can identify with her. She's very genuine, and she really embraced the take it one step at a time approach with her plant-based journey, and she got caught in a lot of the traps a lot of us do in transitioning. And so we're going to talk all about those. It's just, well, you know, a lot of my co-pilots and also the Herbie of the Week stories on happyherbivore.com, there's sort of these epic stories where someone like Beth, who is in our first podcast, lost 80 pounds and reversed chronic disease and chronic decisions, all of these things. But there are so many of us where we were doing pretty good only to go plant-based and use the meal plans and realize, wow, pretty good wasn't good enough. Like, there's still these improvements which maybe don't seem so huge but are actually very huge for us and have a really big impact on who we are and how we feel. And that's sort of the spirit of today's podcast and guest, that these little changes make a big difference in both directions. The more middle of the road roadblocks and stuff like that is all what we're going to talk about, that even if you're almost the way there, there's still a little more road to travel. And with that, I am very excited and pleased to introduce Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Lindsay. So excited to be here.
Yes, I'm really excited to have you on today. The first topic I want to talk about is a teensy bit controversial. So there's two sort of movements out there, the plant-based versus the vegan. And ironically, this morning I saw a BuzzFeed article that kind of sort of made fun of vegans and sort of their ways of approaching reaching out to others. But basically, if anyone's listening and they don't kind of know the difference, is the idea is that vegans aren't eating animal products, meat, cheese, eggs, etc., for ethical reasons. Whereas people who say they're plant-based, they're sort of rooted around nutrition or trying to be healthier, more environmentally friendly, etc. And that's not to say someone can't find themselves passionate about both aspects, but that's generally sort of the difference, that vegans are sort of focusing on animal welfare and about the cruelty, and plant-based folks are kind of like, hey, this is healthier, eat more vegetables. And admittedly, a few years ago, I was, you know, a vegangelical, if we want to call them that, where I was making all my friends watch those awful meat is murder videos, and I had zero converts. Strained relationships, no one was joining me. And then I backed off, and I started leading by example. And when my friends would ask about my diet or my food, I always came at it from a very positive, very educational standpoint. I talked a lot about nutrition and health. And since then, you know, I've converted pretty much everyone in my life. And I know you had an interesting experience with this in a film you watched. And so I thought maybe you could kind of tell us about that.
Yes, I was first introduced to this whole new world by watching the documentary Earthlings. And that's not exactly how I would ever recommend anybody to get started. And yet for some reason, like, it didn't click with me. I definitely started and it got me on track to, you know, make steps towards getting healthier and eating different kinds of meat and trying to cut back on meat. But it just wasn't like an all or nothing for me. So it
didn't really convert you.
No, it didn't. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, one of those things that's like eye awakening, and you just, you kind of know. And, you know, I hear a lot of people say like, oh, I just don't want to know. Like, I know it's out there, but like, just don't tell me, you know. And factory farming is really, that's kind of what got my whole thing around trying to get healthier. And it was really about the quality of the food that I was putting into my body. And so I like originally switched to eating like organic only, or, you know, grass-fed beef, because I didn't want that factory farmed meat, because that didn't seem healthy after that video. But it didn't quite get me like all the way to vegan, and I'm still not there. But I definitely, my journey has been all about being plant-based and getting healthier and you know, exactly how you put it. So,
right. And I thought that was really interesting when you were first telling me about that, is because the whole point of those videos is to just show how awful, you know, factory farming is and how cruel it is and to turn people off from eating meat. But when you saw it, you were appalled, but all it did was make you decide you were only going to eat organic or stuff that some of your hunting friends caught. So it didn't even really move you off meat. It just made you more conscious of the meat you were eating, which I guess means you probably ended up eating a little bit less, but it didn't really seem to accomplish what you had hoped or what it had, I guess, hoped for you. And so I always find that interesting because, like I said, when I was showing my friends all these awful meat videos, they were just like, it didn't push them off meat. It just made them think, okay, well, I won't buy, you know, the cheap stuff from McDonald's, which is still a positive movement. But I definitely feel like it doesn't hit the larger picture. Like, people ask me all the time, well, why can't I have organic or free range? And it's like, well, that's just a smaller issue, not the bigger issue that these foods, you know, contribute to cancer and obesity and all heart disease and all these other problems. Like, you're just taking away the smaller problem, not the bigger one, like the cancer promoters.
Right. And the biggest thing that eventually got me really changing towards the plant-based diet was hearing about the China study and actually sitting down to read that. And then after I read that book, I watched Forks Over Knives, and that, you know, then it all started to kind of click. But it wasn't that, you know, horrible video of watching, you know, these animals that were like, oh, I need to be vegan.
Yeah. And that's, if you're not familiar with Earthlings, that's what it is. I was a vegan for a long time when it came out, and I still haven't seen it almost a decade later because I know I'll just throw up and cry. And, because it's a very graphic movie about sort of what happens to animals at these factory farms, and it's more awful than you could ever imagine. And that's pretty much the whole movie. And then the other ones that you talked about, well, the China study is a book, but Forks Over Knives is also a movie, but there's no animal welfare in it. It's completely about health, like why we should avoid animal products for our health. And it, of course, references the China study. And it's very interesting because I find Forks Over Knives is a huge power, like heavyweight, in getting people to change their diet. And so I find it curious that you have seen both, and that was really what sort of got you to take that step to eating a more plant-based diet.
Right.
And was it, what made you watch it? Like, what was it, because you read the China study? Like, how did you get involved?
Yeah, I think, you know, I read the China study, and at that point, you know, I was getting more curious about diet and nutrition and health and, you know, trying to get healthier and, you know, I'm still fairly young and would like to live a long, healthy life. And how do I prevent things like cancer and heart disease and just, you know, trying to be the healthiest life that I can be. You know, once I read the China study, then, you know, I'm reading all these other books. And you go from one to the next to the next to the next, and you know, you get all these cookbooks, and Engine 2 Diet was another one that helped me. But then I read, you know, The Starch Solution and Whole. And
and all of these are amazing books. They're really great.
Yeah. I just once it finally clicked for me on the education standpoint, then I was much more interested in, like, learning about the aspects of health and how food affects our bodies and even the small things and just how these nutrients really can benefit you as opposed to medications or supplements and things like that.
And I think that's interesting to a lot of people. Like, that's what attracts a lot of people because, like you said, you have all of these friends who are like, I know, but I don't want to know about it. Like, they purposely want to stick their head in the sand. And I mean, I was one of those people for a lot of years, so I can't fault them in that. So one of the things that I really loved and that I know I could identify with in talking to you previously, and I think a lot of other people will, is that you were what most people would consider healthy. I mean, you didn't really have a lot of, you know, problems. You didn't have heart disease. You were still young. And you said that, you know, you were a little bit overweight, but you weren't, you know, excessively overweight. You were in your 20s. I mean, you just, if someone saw you off the street, they say, hey, she's a healthy girl. But yet you still saw, like, huge changes when you went plant-based. And that was a process for you too, which we'll talk about a little later, how you kept refining your diet. But why don't you tell us about sort of, you know, the weight you lost and how your numbers changed?
Yeah, I first, you know, working out a lot through my 20s, I finally started to lose a little bit of that weight. And like I said, it wasn't that much that I really needed to lose, but I probably, you know, from being in college to my mid-20s, probably lost maybe 30 or 40 pounds. So it was a little bit more. I was a little heavier through halfway through college.
But you were never like obese or morbidly obese or anything like that?
No. And so in my 20s, you know, there's always like those last 5 pounds or those last 10 pounds that any girl's trying to like strive for. And then I dealt with a couple of running injuries. And so I gained some weight back and, you know, it was kind of, it's just that like up and down struggle that mm-hmm. you know, all these women and even men go through too. So once I really did start to stick to a plant-based diet, it's been a little more consistent with my weight. I'm still a runner. I work out at the gym and lift weights and, you know, I probably have a little bit of body fat I could still lose, but I'm not a stick figure and I'm not fat.
Right.
You know, I'm just like an average person. But even, you know, in the year and a half that I've been fully plant-based, my body has just done a lot better. My cholesterol has dropped even in, you know, my cholesterol beginning when I was like first going plant-based was like 113, which is really low even in and of itself. But after a year, when I got tested again, it was down to 103.
Which is still a big improvement.
I know. I like texted my family immediately and I was like, oh my gosh, like look at these results, thinking that that was going to help them like get healthier. And
you were already, and what's amazing is your cholesterol was already what a lot of people would consider ideal or healthy, and you just made it better.
Well, and I wasn't even trying to, and that's where I think it really surprised me that even cleaning up my diet and not necessarily trying to see those numbers drop, that they did, and it was kind of just that, like, aha moment, like, wow, like, it's amazing to just kind of see everything that everybody has said about plant-based diet even work for me, who was already semi-healthy.
Right, and that was something that really surprised me, too, is even in the years, you know, I've been plant-based for a lot of years, and I still see my numbers to continue to improve. And it's like, I haven't really done anything additional. Like in the early years, maybe I started eating a little more whole, a little less vegan junk food, or maybe I started eating even more kale or something like that. But really, I mean, I haven't really made any sweeping changes, and yet they just continue to improve. And like you, I'm not trying. A lot of people do come to the plant-based diet because they desperately need to make that change. You know, their triglycerides or they're pre-diabetic, something. So they really need to make some changes, but you didn't really need to, and it still improved for you, which is just amazing.
Yeah. It makes it more exciting for me, and it makes it, just kind of reinforce like why I eat the way I eat, because it makes me feel better. You know, my body just thrives on it.
And one thing too is you had a very, what I would consider a normal, typical upbringing, childhood, family. Like you grew up among omnivores. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and how you really did kind of have, because I think a lot of times people think, oh, those plant-based, well, they were raised different or they grew up different or they have different families. But most of the time, we're just like everyone else. We just we differentiated ourselves for our health.
Yeah, I mean, my family was a small family of four, and, you know, we ate meat and casseroles. We didn't eat out all that much. My dad worked and my mom stayed at home with us, so she pretty much cooked all the time. So we were eating, you know, for the average American, what would be mostly healthy meals, and, we always had sides of vegetables, and but there was definitely meat and dairy in there. And I think even the realization hit me once I finally decided to cut out dairy that I've kind of had an intolerance to dairy all along.
I hear that a lot. Yeah. From people who realize that, oh my gosh, I never really could eat it.
Right. But, you know, we grew up on the water and ate a lot of fish and seafood, and that was just seemed normal. But, you know, there wasn't anything. It's not like we ate out all of our meals or, you know, we had a fairly healthy, you know, what we thought was fairly healthy diet. So,
and that was my exact childhood too. My mother, until I was pretty much a teenager, she was a stay-at-home mom, and so she cooked all of our meals for us. And we didn't really eat out that often. Maybe special occasions, like an anniversary or birthday or something like that. But it was the same thing. I too grew up near the water, and so seafood was abundant in our family. But like looking back, we were doing great compared to the people who live and die through fast food. And yet I was, you know, overweight and I had all of these health problems even as a child. And it wasn't until I cleaned up my diet as an adult that I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, my parents have since switched to a plant-based diet. Their anniversary was this week for 3 years. And even they're like, I can't believe that I lived that way. Like, you just don't know what health feels like until it happens. And then you're like, wow, I really felt crappy and I just didn't know it.
Right, right.
And I find that's really true with dairy. So I'm glad you brought that up because there's so many people who tell me, I had no idea I didn't need to have acne or a stuffy nose or irritable bowel syndrome or, you know, a whole list of constipation, like a whole list of these other things that they just, it went away. And they're like, oh my God, it was the dairy.
Yeah.
You know, women with I find menstrual pain or even migraines seems to also be things people just, it vanishes when they cut out the dairy. It's just so toxic. So one thing I know with you is, like myself, you kind of progressed. Like you said, at first you changed. You weren't just eating, you were eating more organic meats, and then you took out the meat, but you were still, you know, eating some like processed vegan foods. And then in, I guess it was January, you decided to like get rid of oil. So maybe you can kind of walk us through all of these motions and what each change, like what it did for you in terms of like your weight or your health.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that helped me, and especially being a runner, there's another blog out there and it's called No Meat Athlete. And Matt is a very strong advocate for like step-by-step or, you know, one step at a time type of change. And so I think that kind of helped me eventually like realize it's okay to take one step at a time. But I, you know, I first cut out the meat and then I eventually made a conscious decision to cut out dairy and eggs and then fish and seafood. That was the hardest. But it actually, because of all, you know, over the last few years and having done all the research, finally made like a conscious decision because of environmental reasons to cut out the fish and seafood. And then, you know, the last year or so really have been mostly plant-based. Well, really 100% plant-based, except for this whole concept of oil, which, you know, my goal this year in January was to start cutting that out and kind of see how my body is going to adjust with getting that, you know, out of our systems, because it's just added fat and it's calories that we don't need and it's not healthy. It's funny because I was sitting at a restaurant today at lunch with some coworkers, and it was a Mexican restaurant, so they bring out these baskets of chips, and my hand like immediately went in the basket and I put a chip in my mouth and I took a bite, and like all of a sudden something clicked. I was like, oh wait, I'm not supposed to be doing this. And it was that mindless eating, you know, it's that motion that you're just so used to in a restaurant. Like, and then as soon as I thought about it, I was like, oh wait, I'm not supposed to do this. And I like put it down and I didn't touch a single chip the rest of the lunch. So it's sometimes more, we have to realize we need to be more mindful of our eating as well, and just kind of remembering what it is that we're putting in our bodies and why or why not we're choosing to eat certain ingredients.
I love that you brought up that mindful aspect, because I think that is what sometimes people see as an inconvenience or a frustration with eating a plant-based diet, but it really does force you to have this an awareness, which I feel is such a gift, because I was like you. I would just, if something was in front of me, I just put it in my mouth. I didn't even think about it. I just ate it and I ate it and I ate it and it was in my mouth. And now I like really think about what I'm putting inside of me. Like I take that moment, like you said, of pausing. Do I really want to eat this? Is this going to make me feel good? And I never was like that before. I was always just like, oh, it's there. Let me eat it.
Yeah. And I struggled with, you know, not anything too severe, but some disordered eating in my 20s. And, you know, having come to a plant-based diet and kind of really having a better education and understanding and more mindful eating has really kind of helped you know, stop those habits. And I don't know, part of me really believes that, you know, the chemistry in my body has changed because of all the plants I eat. And so, you know, my brain just doesn't function the way, you know, if I start to eat too many sweets, you know, those cravings start to come back and I get more, you know, I kind of go back to those ways, you know, of just eating too much or just, you know, not being mindful of how much I'm actually putting in my body and then regretting it later.
Yeah, and I was, when we were speaking over email, I remember you had said that you struggled with binge and purge disordered eating a little bit in your 20s, and that you also had anxiety and panic attacks, but you found that the disordered eating has essentially gone away since you were plant-based, as long as you don't, you know, go into too many sweets or junk food, which, you know, brings back some old tendencies, but that even, you know, your anxiety, like all that's just kind of gone and you just handle stuff better.
Right. And I truly believe that it's just these, you know, this input and these pouring of like nutrients that kind of just help balance chemicals in your body and your brain. And, you know, I've taken the eCornell plant-based certification class, and, you know, you learn a lot about, you know, the science behind it. And, you know, I do think it's true that, you know, you are what you eat. And so the more you can eat these healthy foods, the healthier your body is going to act in return. So you don't necessarily have to deal with stress the same way. Your body just can handle it better.
Now, you've been using the meal plans for a while, and you've been training with them too. So do you want to kind of tell us how you balance the meal plans and training? Because I know you've done a lot of things, like you've been in marathons and you've had some injuries too, but you've been like a runner for a long time.
Yeah, I've been running for probably 6 or 7 years, at least long distances. And I've done 2 marathons. I only finished one of them because one was an unrelated foot injury. But, you know, I trained for a whole season and was there. So as far as the meal plans, yes, I have been on and off following them for probably 3 years now. And it's really helpful as far as having my main meals prepared. Because I'm running and working out, I don't stick to a certain number of calories. I don't try to keep it at 1,200 because obviously if I'm running a 20-mile run,
yeah, you need a lot more.
Twice that amount. But it's nice to have those as, you know, a base and add in sides and go from there. You know, I think over the years my eating has become much more simple, and so whether or not I'm eating one of your meals, you know, sometimes I'm lazy and I just throw together some beans and rice for dinner and a small salad, or, you know, it's just, I have become more comfortable with eating, you know, plainer food. I guess that sounds kind of boring, but your body kind of adjusts to those. You know, you don't need all that salt anymore, and you don't need all the extra flavoring. And sometimes I just like the simplicity of it. So,
and I love that you brought that point, because a lot of times I know when people are first switching over from sort of like the standard American diet, they might think that healthy food tastes bland or it's not satisfying. And what it is you've had all this, you know, salt and sugar and oil for so long that your taste receptors are just damaged. And I'm like you. At first, I went through that too, but now I could eat just steamed kale and black beans for a quick meal, and I actually think it's really flavorful. I don't even need to add spices or anything on top of it. Of course, but I wasn't like this 3 and 4 and 5 years ago. It's just like you said, your tastes really change, but I do think it's the longer you stick with it and as long as you keep eating these healthy foods, your palate will really sort of refine and your tongue will kind of heal itself after all that overstimulation from all the salt and sugar for so many years. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you had sort of a similar experience there. But I'll like eat something like a plain rice cake, and some of my friends are like, that's like tastes like cardboard. And I'm like, actually, no, it's kind of sweet to me. And they're like, you're weird.
I actually really like those too.
Good, I'm not alone. Well, I especially like them when I'm doing activities like hiking, and I'm sure you probably get a good use out of them with running because it's just a nice carbohydrate for you.
Yep. And, you know, I work at a desk job. And one thing I didn't mention, I actually lucked out. You know, I have a typical, you know, 9-to-5 type of office job. But I actually was able to get my company to get me a stand-up desk. And so
I'm able
to either sit or stand throughout the day. I try to at least stand for about half the day if I can. And, you know, if I sit down, I'm usually just doing administrative stuff. But whenever I'm on the phone, I try to be up and standing, and you know, my desk can lower and raise, and it's really helpful that, you know, I can add in that extra step of not just sitting there. You know, I can actively be burning a few calories if I'm up and moving around. But rice cakes are definitely one thing I have in my drawer at desk. My desk drawer.
We have the standing and sitting options at Happy Herbivore headquarters too. And I've been like toying with the idea of getting one of those treadmill ones where you walk really slow and you type. But I don't know if that'll just make me the super weird hippie boss. But no, it really, you know, it's interesting. I got into the standing because my yoga teacher was saying that sitting is like as bad as smoking, or I guess that's what the New York Times said. And that really freaked me out. But I am often amazed how well and how much more clearer I think when I'm standing. Or even like when I'm on the phone, I sometimes pace around in a circle. And I feel like now that you've said that, I feel like it must be something that happens and I'm not crazy.
Yeah, well, and it just has helped my posture. But also as a runner, you know, when I sit down at my desk, I tend to cross my legs and then my knees on top of each other just does not do well. So I, when I'm standing most of the day, it's actually better for my knees overall and my joints.
And you probably get some better like blood flow that way too.
Yeah, yep.
Which is probably a little good for recovery. One other big issue is you have a nut allergy, which a lot of people feel they can't be plant-based or vegan if they have a nut allergy. I actually don't eat nuts either, which of course the meal plans are always nut-free and almost all of my recipes are nut-free too. But maybe you can talk a little bit about, but mine is just, I don't like them. You really can't, you really have to avoid. So maybe you can talk about living with a nut allergy.
Yeah, so I we found out I was allergic to tree nuts when I was about 4 years old. And so even growing up, you know, it's funny because we've always had to read ingredient lists. And I question it now, like after so many years of looking at ingredients of, you know, food packaged items, like why did I not question what I was eating? But regardless, I was really only trained to like look for walnuts, look for almonds, you know, those types of nuts on the labels. And so I am actually anaphylactic to tree nuts. I carry EpiPens with me. And it's definitely not something that should prohibit anybody from going plant-based. You have to be careful eating out at any restaurant, regardless of whether it's a vegan restaurant or, you know, but most of the time I don't eat desserts out at restaurant. There's a lot of times contamination issues. I'm careful about the types of restaurants that I eat at because some may have more contamination issues than others, but it's just definitely just an added thing I have to be careful about. But I know some people do really think I'm crazy with the way you eat because I can't eat nuts and I don't do dairy and I don't do eggs and I don't do meat. And they're like, Nicole, like, what do you eat?
It's like the whole produce section.
I know. And I actually think I eat a wider variety of foods now than I ever did before.
Oh, so. I'm so glad you said that. Me too. Oh, absolutely.
It's been really fun to like experiment with new vegetables and with new fruits and, you know, just make things, you know, find out what they taste like. So as long as they're not nuts, then I'm certainly free to eat them. So.
Yeah. But that, I really love that point about the wider variety because that's definitely true for me. I think I ate like six things. Like really, if I broke it down to my old diet, it was like six different things in six different ways. And now I'll try, like you said, I'll try anything. I'm super excited to try a new vegetable or a fruit. But which before I think I ate like carrots and potatoes and corn. I think those are the three vegetables that I ate.
Maybe some peas.
maybe peas, but I'm allergic to broccoli. So I didn't eat that. And that's a common one. And yeah. And I think even fruit, I know I ate like apples, oranges, bananas, and maybe like strawberries. I don't think. And now I'm like, I lived without mango and persimmons. How did I live without mango and persimmons?
Yep.
Do you have any of those kind of foods that you just like love and like you didn't eat before?
Mushrooms for sure. And I hated mushrooms growing up. And actually, even when I first switched to a plant-based diet, I still didn't like mushrooms. I actually purposely like made a recipe with them thinking like, oh, I need to start eating these. They're healthy for me. And I like took one bite and I couldn't finish the rest.
Oh no.
Because I still just hadn't acquired a taste for it. But then I don't know, another year passed and all of a sudden I just had this craving for mushrooms and I love them now. So
That's funny because I hated mushrooms too. I hated them. And when I first was vegan and plant-based, I also made myself like eat them like twice and was like, these are awful. I hate them. But I was like, I need more variety because I was still kind of in that meat and potatoes mindset. And then one day I went to a friend's house and she made a mushroom gravy and I was just like, thought it was the tastiest thing that ever happened. And I have loved them ever since, which is funny because a lot of people seem to hate mushrooms. I'm like, you just wait. Resistance is futile. And raw onions was another one. I hated raw onions. And I like actually will like put them purposely on my salad. And I don't know how that happened either. Cause I hated cooked onions, raw onions, onion rings, you name it. I hated it. Now I love it. So, apparently the plant-based diet does magical things to your tastes.
Yes, it does.
And I guess my one last question is if there's any advice you have for people who are runners like you. I know people often wonder about like snacks and stuff, and I always tell them to take dates. That's what my husband eats when he runs marathons, and that's what I used when I still ran. But if you have any suggestions for runners, I'm sure they would appreciate it.
Yeah, I used to pack, I mean, obviously dates. I actually would used to pack like some crackers with some peanut butter mixed in, you know, make my own. You can buy those packets of crackers from the store, but I would just make my own and like put them. I, ironically, even though I'm allergic to tree nuts, I'm not allergic to peanut butter anymore. So go figure.
Well, that's, I think, a legume and not a tree nut if we're going to be, like, super biological.
but I was, when I was a kid, I was allergic to peanuts and somehow outgrew that allergy. But I won't ever outgrow the nut allergy. So yeah. It's very interesting. But anyways, yeah, I would do crackers and peanut butter and dates. Sometimes I would pack actually frozen grapes, like if I was running during the summer.
Love that idea.
I love frozen grapes as a snack during the summer because you can kind of either like snack on them and they're more like a popsicle, or I would bring them to work sometimes and then they would thaw out and I would just eat my grapes. So those were great on a run as well. So just and you know, I do occasionally still bring like a goo pack with me. I just am careful about the brands that I buy and watching the ingredients. I know there are some semi-healthier ones that are like chia seed based. And certainly I know Brendan Brazier and his Thrive books has like recipes in his books for making your own types of goos and things like that. It really, you just kind of have to figure out what works with your stomach. And, you know, I know with runners, sometimes adding in those longer distances, sometimes it's hard to digest certain things. And
yeah,
I found the more like solid type food I was eating, generally the better.
Yeah, that's a good point too, because I definitely find that was different with versus me and versus my husband when we were running, where I couldn't eat something solid like a Lara bar would just sit there like a rock and cause me like distress. So I needed all almost liquid stuff, but he was the exact opposite. He needed the like the hard sustenance, dense, non-liquid. And so it's a good point to definitely kind of see how your stomach reacts, especially afterwards too. I could only get down like a liquid, like a smoothie or something, right. Or I gag. And my husband was the exact opposite. If I offered him like a smoothie or a water thing, he would gag. So
yeah. And I will say one of the things I've struggled, and we have a really big running community here, but one of the things I've struggled with, you know, we have these sports nutrition stores that, you know, they support the running community and they're out there with their sports drinks and with their protein powders. And, you know, for a while I kind of had bought into them, and I finally eventually realized I don't necessarily need these like protein powders, even if they're vegan protein powders. They're still not necessarily a whole food. And so as long as I'm eating a healthy meal after my run, my body recovers just fine.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's the same thing after a hard workout at the gym lifting weights. Like as long as I'm eating, you know, good dinner and healthy foods, I'm really not sore afterwards, which is nice to have that recovery time.
Yeah, I'm glad you made that point too. And I have a couple of friends who are professional bodybuilders and they're plant-based and they don't take supplements. And they're like, if I'm sore, it's because I know I didn't eat a good meal. Like right. I didn't eat healthy food. And that's true for me. I do yoga every day, which of course isn't quite as strenuous as running a marathon or lifting weights, but it's the same thing. If I don't eat healthy, I will find that I have some soreness. But as long as I'm continuing to eat well and I'm, you know, following my meals, then it's fine. And it's important to know that a lot of those things, like those supplements, and it was all kind of part of a marketing to get people to join things and buy more stuff. And even the protein powder manufacturers have yet to produce a single study that shows it actually helps you build muscle faster or at all, like any more than just a healthy food.
Well, and it was scary to me as I was doing more research, the types of things, and especially in these powders that make them, not even just the powders that have like casein in them, but like some of these electrolyte powders that are not vegan because of other things that are put in the powders. And I was like, I just don't need that stuff in my body.
Yeah, right. And a great book, and you read it too, you mentioned it earlier, the podcast is Whole by Dr. T. Colin Campbell. And he talks about how the body doesn't really know how to do with these condensed nutrients. Like, it knows what to do with an apple, but it doesn't know what to do with all these things that were extracted out of the apple with all of its companions.
Right.
So it's a great thing. But it's been really fun talking to you, Nicole. You gave us so much great advice and information. I really appreciate you sharing all of your insights with us. And I love that you're just such a real and honest person about kind of your transition, which it was so step by step. And I think that's what a lot of people need to do or want to do. And it's nice to know that you can sort of ease your way in and sort of embrace that whole progress, not perfection, that I'm always preaching.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, it is great to see people's excellent, epic, you know, stories about losing 100 pounds or, you know, immediately going plant-based. But for so many people out there, I don't want them to be scared of that either, and that it is okay to transition one step at a time and ease into it and do what's comfortable for you. It's funny because, you know, I also have a health coach certification, and anytime anybody asks me advice, it's really just to start incorporating more whole foods into your diet, and it eventually works itself out. Like, your body eventually just starts craving those healthier foods, and you just decide on your own to take it one step further. And it's just nice to see that progress.
Yes. And all progress counts. That's another thing I like to tell people. Like, even if you only get, you know, 1 out of 10 right on one day, hey, that's still better than 0.
Absolutely.
So, well, thanks again, Nicole. If you want to learn more, this is Lindsay from Meal Mentor. If you want to join the meal plans that we both use, you can learn more about them at getmealplans.com. Thanks again to Nicole, and thanks again to everyone who listened on this podcast.